Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk with Dr. Chris Bergwald about a new endeavor that is starting up. It's called Equip. It's a fascinating program about missionary discipleship, and it might be for you. So I hope that you will stick around and listen to that and learn a little bit more about what Equip is all about. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, and Father Timothy Smith with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to Shebna, master of the palace, I will thrust you from your office and pull you down from your station. On that day, I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and gird him with your sash and give over to him your authority. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot to be a place of honor for his family. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How inscrutable are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given the Lord anything that he may be repaid? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, Who do you say that the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said in reply, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him in reply, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Austin Yerke, a member of St. Benedict Parish Yankton, was recently awarded the Eagle Scout rank at a court of honor held at St. Benedict Parish. The Eagle Scout rank is Boy Scout's highest rank. Austin's Eagle project consisted of replacing an existing deck attached to the south side of the Chapel of St. Joseph at the House of Mary Shrine west of Yankton, that is. The deck was in dire need of replacement. Some boards on the deck showed signs of deterioration, and some boards were not level with the surface. In addition, steps leading up to the deck were also repaired or replaced. You can read and see more about Austin Yerke in the August edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, this is the kind of thing you tell your kids when you're older, said Campbell Montgomery, a senior at St. Ignatius College Prep in Chicago, Illinois. Montgomery and the more than 1,400 students at St. Ignatius took to the school's football field to watch the solar eclipse this past week. The sun peeked out from the clouds long enough for people in the Chicago area to see some of the solar event. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Montgomery told the area and the Chicago Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Fellow senior Devin Craigie agreed, getting to come out and miss school for this, it's just a great learning experience for Ignatius to do this. I think it's really cool, she said. St. Ignatius was just one of many Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago that took advantage of the eclipse for a unique learning experience. Many teachers used the eclipse in their lessons and created solar-themed activities. Some high schools, including St. Ignatius and Marian Catholic sent students and staff downstate to Carbondale, Illinois, to experience the total eclipse. The Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops asked Florida Governor Rick Scott to commute the death sentence of Mark Assay, a prisoner scheduled for execution this week. In a letter, the conference's executive director, Michael B. Sheedy, asked Governor Scott to commute the sentence to life without parole. Assay was convicted in 1988 of the murders of Robert Lee Booker and Robert McDowell. Mr. Assay's violent acts call out for justice and should be condemned. However, life without parole is an alternative and severe sentence, Sheedy said. We hold that if non-lethal means are available to keep society safe from an aggressor, then authority must limit itself to such means. This is the case in Florida, and it's within your authority to commute Mr. Assay's sentence. Last October, the Florida Supreme Court struck down part of a new state law on capital offenses, finding that it was unconstitutional because it did not require unanimous jury recommendations for death sentences, according to WJXT-TV in Jacksonville. But 2 months later, the court modified the unanimous ruling to only apply to convictions made before 2002. It also lifted the stay on Assay's execution. Florida has not carried out the execution of an individual for 18 months. The inconsistent and arbitrary application of the death penalty has only become more apparent since Florida's most recent execution in January 2016, Sheedy said. Serving the poor in Nicaragua through a parish mission inspired three young women to choose careers in medicine. Doctors Rachel Johnson, Alex Olney, and Anna Solmirsky Strasma began volunteering as children with Amigos for Christ, a nonprofit organization that grew out of a youth group project at Prince of Peace in Flowery Branch, Georgia, in 1999. At one time, the three were members of the parish. Amigos volunteers work in and around the city of Chinandega in the northwest part of the Central American country. They labor to bring clean water to communities, build schools, teach disease prevention, foster small economic development projects, and other initiatives. John Bland, who at the time was a youth group leader at Prince of Peace, founded the nonprofit in the devastation after Hurricane Mitch, which struck Nicaragua, that is, the second poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, in late 1998. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Well, some of that recovery just takes forever.
It does. It really does. You'd think it'd be faster, but it doesn't. It depends on how hard it was hit.
Glad people are still helping him out and opportunity for more to do so.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for the news, Gene. Let's move on now to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by Dr. Chris Bergwald. New and exciting program coming. Maybe not so new, kind of a long time coming, maybe is a better way to say this. But a great opportunity for folks who want to dive a little bit deeper into their faith, know a little bit more, be a little bit better. Equipped. And this is a program called Equip. So there's my pun for the day.
Good morning, Jerry. Good job. Good pun.
So really, this is an interesting program, and I think has a lot of potential, not just immediately, but for the long term. Talk a little bit about what you really want to do with this program called Equip.
Yeah, so Equip is one way to describe it might be it's a process for forming missionary disciples. Another way that a friend summarized it aptly, it's a school of formation. This is for lay men and women who are already passionate about their faith but want to go deeper and want to do so in a maybe more systematic way, a more robust way. To some degree, a little bit more intense way to grow in their faith, their understanding of the faith, how it matters to their life, and how they can share it with others. That's it. In a nutshell, that's what Equip is.
So I can right away hear people saying, well, I'm no academic, pal. Right. I can't handle that kind of stuff. Yep. Is this classroom kind of stuff?
So I part of the conversation that led to the summary of it being a school of formation. I do push back on classroom because this involves the intellect, but it's more than just the intellect.
Right.
But it does involve the intellect. So there is reading. So in a sense, again, a school of formation is an apt way. There is some, if you will, classroom activity, but hopefully in a very engaged. The reason, Jerry, I cringe whenever it's not just pure lecture. It's not me or somebody else droning on and on and everybody else falling asleep.
It's an engaged conversation about our faith and trying to get deeper.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
Very, very well said. Yeah. So we'll focus, it includes the intellect, but it's also about my spiritual life as a participant, my the way that I can accompany other people, relate to them, potentially lead them. That's human formation. Mm-hmm. And then the ways that I'm called to serve others, the pastoral or apostolic dimension of my discipleship. So there are sort of four areas of formation that our department's been talking about for a while, that we've probably talked about on Catholic Views before when it comes to discipleship, spiritual, human, intellectual, and pastoral or apostolic.
Same as the seminaries.
Exactly. It's the right. Same as seminaries, right. Same as deacon formation.
Yep.
I think many religious communities are using the same pillars of formation. We're applying that now to the lay, and this is a key distinction between EQUIP and other things we've done before, to the lay apostolate.
Okay.
So apostolate is...
Yeah, explain that a little bit.
Yeah, how many syllables? Well, apostolate.
It's a lot.
Four syllables, a lot of syllables.
You don't have to sound it out.
I'm not going to spell it for you.
Yeah.
The apostolate is, in the broad sense, the word apostolate refers to the fact that the church is sent to make disciples. Jesus has sent the church, apostolate from apostle.
From apostle, right.
Which means one who is sent. An apostolate is a mission that somebody or some organization has to aid in the church's overall mission of making disciples. Lay people, lay men and women, also have an apostolate. We participate in the church's apostolate. We participate in the church's mission to make disciples. You and I have talked about that before. We've just never really used that technical term, the apostolate. So as opposed to what, I think? Maybe this will clarify.
I think so.
As opposed to lay ministry.
Okay.
So a lot of us as laymen and women, you and I, we work for the church. We're prophet, if you will. I certainly am. I even say that your role, you are a lay minister in some sense. All of our, the vast majority of our DREs, catechists, music ministry folks, we're people who work in our parishes or in our dioceses to help form the faith or lead others in their faith. So that's ministry, but the apostolate has more of an outward dimension, bringing the faith out into my community, maybe out, if you will, into my home, mm-hmm. or out into my workplace. So the apostolate, in a sense, again, this is a process for forming missionary disciples. It's connected to the mission that we all have to go make disciples in whatever area we live, wherever we live, any area of our life.
So let's just say I'm a typical person sitting in the pew at church, and I hear you talk about this, and I think to myself, well, I don't really know if that's me or not. How would I know? How do I tease that out a little bit?
Yeah. So the person that we have in mind who might be interested in EQUIP is somebody, again, who's already has some fire in the belly.
Right.
If you
so
know.
They're in church. They're
in church. This person, I'm talking to you, you already pray regularly. You go to mass, you go to confession on a pretty regular basis. You accept everything the church teaches as the teachings of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's a brief picture of you, somebody who might be interested in EQUIP, somebody who's already faith-filled and on fire, somebody who other people say, boy, their faith is really important to them.
Yeah. You can just tell it.
You can just tell.
They're there. Yeah. They're participating. They're doing it.
Yep.
Okay. So I think about this age group, and I'm including my age group in a sense of this, who came out of Vatican II and the post-Vatican II days when things were kind of muddled, if we're honest about it.
Yep.
And religious education wasn't always perhaps what it should have
right.
been. And so I am one of these people sitting in the pew, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this might help me fill in some of the gaps. Is that true?
It might. The EQUIP is not meant to be probably not, as I think about it more.
Okay.
In this sense, EQUIP is not meant to be remedial formation.
Okay.
So it's part of the...
So you're assuming a certain level.
Assuming a certain level. And there is an intake process. There's an application. There are a couple of interviews and so on, because we need to make sure that certain level... Now, it's not a real high level.
Right.
I mean, what I described to you earlier, some basics. You don't need a degree in theology, anything like that. But there is a level that we're requiring. It's not remedial because it's part of the Institute for the New Evangelization, the Bishop Martin Marty Institute for the New Evangelization. And there are other things that we offer for the scenario that you just presented.
Perfect.
Somebody who wants to learn more about their faith, but realizes I missed out.
So in that sense, looking at EQUIP,
considering EQIP may lead you to something else that the Institute offers
exactly.
that might be more appropriate
exactly.
for you.
And then, in turn,
in the longer
you go
term,
through those things,
right.
the workshops, the small groups, and so on. And you know what? I'm at a place now where I feel like I've got a pretty solid foundation, and I want to build on it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I think the other question that people are going to have before they ever start this is, when I'm done, what does this mean? Where does this take me?
Right,
what
are
you going to expect of me?
Right. This is the great thing. Absolutely nothing.
Ah, perfect.
But the Lord will.
Uh-huh.
So the goal, and that's, so what I mean by that is, there is the outcome for this is a certification, but it is not as, you know, we've had in the past the Institute for Religious Studies, the
right.
Master Catechist Program,
yep.
other things that predate those formation opportunities, but they were again all formation for a ministry within the church.
Mm-hmm.
EQIP. Is equipping me, is forming me so that I can go be a missionary disciple, which is what our popes and most of all our God is calling us to do. You referred to the Second Vatican Council, that whole idea of the lay apostolate, of the laity participating not only in ministries within our parishes, but in the church's overall mission to make disciples. That was a major piece of what Vatican II desired for lay men and women like you and I.
Right. Right.
So my desire, our desire, Bishop Swain's desire for EQIP is really that through EQIP, we'd have a cadre of deeply well-formed missionary disciples available for the Lord to do with what he sees fit. Now, certainly, I've talked to several pastors, so certainly some of our pastors are interested in calling upon people who go through EQIP to help out in their parishes.
Sure.
But by virtue of going through EQIP, that doesn't automatically empower you to run back to Father and say, I can do this now. Well, that's not what it's in primarily for.
Well, and I think I hear that, and that in fact it might be more outside
exactly.
of the parish, in the world, if you will, in my work world and wherever. Just and not that I'm on the street corner evangelizing necessarily, but I do have some tools to use as I go to work.
Exactly. So a deeper knowledge of the faith, hopefully a deeper prayer life, a deeper ability to accompany other people, to lead them closer to Jesus Christ, to clear away obstacles, questions they may have, and a deeper awareness of the gifts that God has given to me mm-hmm. to do all of those things. We've talked about charisms before.
Right.
So that's a big piece of this too. And then, so the process, just to real briefly, it takes 3 years. The first 2 year are sort of the core curriculum, if you will. And then the third year gets a little bit more based on the interests of the participants, some tracks. So it's sort of like maybe if you went to college or you're familiar with college.
Got a major.
A major.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So you're being, everybody, you hear about your generals. So everybody takes some certain common classes, their core curriculum, their generals, but then they take the classes that are specific to their major. Our desire is to offer something similar with EQIP.
And those tracks probably, because that's 2 or 3 years down the road, you're still developing those.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We have some ideas. And they'll all be towards the lay apostolate. So some things that I'm throwing around, if you go to the website, which is www.sfcatholic.org/equip, if you go there, you'll see some examples of things that it could be. Source and summit is one example. So how does the liturgy matter to my daily life? The church teaches that the liturgy is the source and summit of my life as a missionary disciple. How can I live that out more deeply? Scripture is another easy example. I know some people will want a deeper formation, even than what the first 2 years offer,
right.
a deeper formation in sacred scripture. Apologetics, how can I explain and respond to objections that are raised about the faith? Those are the sorts of tracks that we're envisioning.
So if you listen to Catholic radio at all, and you listen to, say, a program like Catholic Answers,
yep.
which covers a whole range of things Catholic, as you listen to the person who's usually on as the guest or the expert,
yep.
they would probably fit one of those tracks.
Exactly.
Oftentimes
yeah.
they do.
Yep.
Not that we're saying you're going to get to that level, but...
Right.
But you might.
But down the path.
But you might.
Yep.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about this term missionary disciple, because we have begun using that an awful lot.
Yes, we have.
Bishop Swain is using it an awful lot in his conversations, and we've noted that on his radio program that he's using that term just a lot more. I think part of that is because of this convocation that happened this summer, where you really dived into what does that call look like, and what does it mean, and how does it play out. And I guess my question out of all that is this specifically a response to some of that?
Yes. So you mentioned at the beginning how it's new, but it's not so new in a sense. So EQIP, as part of the Institute for the New Evangelization, has been sort of gestating for several years now. We're just now at a point where we felt this is the time to announce it. So going to the phrase missionary discipleship, missionary disciple, that comes from Pope Francis and his document, The Joy of the Gospel, which was a document that sort of summarized a synod on the new evangelization that happened way back in 2012 at the call of Pope Benedict the 16th.
Right.
Going back that far, we had already been thinking about, okay, what is something that we can offer that's maybe a little more deeper, a little bit more systematic, a little bit more robust for laymen, women who desire that. The phrase missionary discipleship was not on our radar because Francis hadn't used it, but something like intentional disciple or living out your faith. That was there, but I do love Francis's phrase that we really are starting to use more and more now, especially because of that convocation, missionary discipleship.
Mm-hmm. And you like that because?
Two things. So first of all, we've been emphasizing for several years now discipleship in our diocese.
Right.
Our call, a personal call to follow Jesus Christ. But that is a call that means that I am in turn sent on mission. So missionary discipleship is a little bit redundant because any disciple should become a missionary, if you will, but it emphasizes that missionary dimension of what authentic discipleship is. So you're not just a student. You are somebody who's following Jesus Christ in a personal way, but following him and at the same time going to others, being a missionary.
Yeah. I'm presuming that you hope to gather some folks from around the diocese.
Absolutely.
You don't want this to be just a certain geographic area, but really the whole diocese.
Yep.
You have to engage the priests in this because, frankly, they're going to be the ones who probably can help you identify.
Yep.
So where are you at in that process? And how does... And then maybe... If I'm listening this morning and I think, I just got to know a little bit more, should I go talk to my pastor? What should I do?
Yeah, so first of all, go to the website, again, www.sfcatholic.org/equip. And if you like what you see there, you're intrigued by this conversation and what you read online, my email address and phone number is there. Call me at that point. And we can start the process. The process is this. We visit. It's both of us think this might be something for you. I send you a pretty detailed application that you complete and you return to me, and then you and I would sit down for an interview. And if we feel like, okay, we should proceed to the next step, then there's a committee that you would have an interview with.
Okay.
Some other folks to help, again, determine. Again, it's not a high bar at all, but there is a minimum to get into EQIP. So to help in that. And then what we're looking at, the application deadline is mid-October, because we want to have those interviews over the second half of October and early November, so that...
Starting the classes
February.
In February, got it. So I'm thinking in my head as we're talking this morning that this the word discernment keeps coming up in my head, right?
Yep.
Because we talk about that all the time in the context of vocations and other places. And I try to keep reminding people, discernment goes on your entire life.
Right.
Here's a moment where you might be being called by the Lord to do something that maybe you don't even feel very comfortable with, but it takes some discernment to really hear whether or not it's real or not.
Yeah,
and others help you. That's the process.
Yes, they do. Yes. So it's through your own prayer, through the Lord speaking through your heart, but you also test it, you discern it by through what others say, you talking to them, maybe they bring it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if this is intriguing to you, what you see online is intriguing, discern it. Again, call me. And I can help you a little bit in that process, but then visit with others to see what they think, if this might be a fit for you.
I'm guessing another question that might come up for people is cost. Is there cost to this?
Right. We are making this The classes, et cetera, that's all part of Catholic Family Services.
Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. There we go.
I got my acronyms wrong in my head. Catholic Family Sharing Appeal, through just the work that people, the generosity people are already giving. Your cost as a participant will simply be to buy the books, mm-hmm. the few books that will be. I should say, too, by the way, so it's quarterly meetings, Jerry, but between that, it's twice a month, a phone call with a mentor. So it's not, so there's some travel, but there's an accompaniment that happens as part of this. But yeah, the quarterly meetings, which would be here in Sioux Falls, would be the only extent of the travel. But there is, I bring that up not because of cost, but for participants to know that this is, it's not just a four time a year thing. It really is an ongoing thing. You're reading, you're praying, you're visiting with your mentor, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
So there's a time commitment.
There is. Yeah. 3 years. And you know, if you're trying to think of probably an hour or so a week, I guess, over the course of those 3 years.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not too bad. Nope.
Yeah. Hour a week.
Yep. The quarterly meetings are Saturdays all day, okay. Just to give you an idea of what the time that there is.
All right. Well, it's a lot. We've thrown a lot at people this morning and I hope that they will be intrigued, and I hope that they will go to the website to check that out. I know, again, pastors have more information. If you want to talk to your pastor, I'm sure he'd be open to talking about it.
Yep, and part of the application process is a letter of recommendation from any priest. Now, maybe your pastor's new, maybe you're new to your parish, so it doesn't have to be from your current parish pastor, but part of the application process is getting a letter of recommendation from a priest in our diocese at good standing, so that's important too.
Well, it's an exciting program. I hope it works out as exactly as you hope it will.
And I hope it works out better than I hope it will.
even that would be good. I think we can all use more missionary disciples among us.
Amen.
All right. Chris Bergwald, Dr. Chris Bergwald, starting the EQUIP program. Check it out, sfcatholic.org/EQUIP, and learn more about it. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
Well, Gene, a little bit of time left this morning. A couple things we definitely want to talk about that are coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the Bishop's Golf Tournament. It's always a big event. It always draws a big crowd. They'll be going all day at one of the golf courses here in Sioux Falls. It always, as I said, draws a big crowd, and they have a great time, and they generate a lot of good money.
For Broomtree.
Exactly.
Yeah, great beneficiary as well. And again, happening tomorrow. Probably too late to get involved, but pray for them.
Exactly. That always helps.
Pray for a good day.
That always helps.
And then we should mention that this week now, the State Fair is underway.
Yep,
and so that means State Fair Mass.
Plenty of people will be making their way to Huron to the State Fairgrounds. But next Sunday in the morning, Bishop Swain will celebrate the State Fair Mass. That also usually draws a good crowd of people that are there for the State Fair that are in Huron that they can see and celebrate the Mass with Bishop.
9 o'clock at the Women's Pavilion on the fairgrounds. It always draws a nice crowd, as you said, and I think for many, the State Fair, and I think they actually use this as a slogan for a while, it's like a family reunion.
It is.
And people come back together and enjoy being there.
It's always a great time.
Yeah.
Whole week that it's there.
And then it really is really back to school, as most of our schools have started already. So keep that in mind.
Time flies when you're having fun.
All right. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back next Sunday.